You're listening to the podcast of East River Park Christian Church. If you'd like to find out more information about the church or donate to this ministry, please visit us at eastriverpark.church. We pray that this is an encouragement to you as you grow in Christ through the local church.
Well, the website was incredibly promising. Brand new indoor swimming pool, continental breakfast, renovated rooms. It was an excellent location. This place would be perfect. So I typed in my info and reserved these block of rooms for the Suda ministry, and done, it would be a great trip. And so we loaded up several vans and headed off to this student conference in the Chicago suburbs. The first session of the night went really well. It was great to worship with just hundreds and hundreds of students, but we were all exhausted. Time to check into our hotel. We all needed rest after a long day, and the next session would start early the next morning. And as soon as we turned down the street, I knew something's wrong. The website was incredibly promising, but this hotel in Elgin, Illinois, well, it was not. The website showed a well-lit parking lot. We were faced with broken streetlights. The website showed an indoor swimming pool that was under construction. The website showed a full continental breakfast. No breakfast that was offered. The website was incredibly promising, but this hotel was not. We walked through construction and remodeling. We walked over cardboard and broken glass. We heard a random dog barking in a room nearby, and I told our students and our volunteers, I said, look, we're only here one night. Go to your room, lock the door, don't come out until we come get you. I'll buy us Dunkin' Donuts once we escape this haunted house. And so as I sat in my dungeon of a room, my wife texted me in another room. She said, where did you bring us to? And it was a fair question. It was a nightmare, but you know, the website was incredibly promising. And at the time, I was just too young in ministry to really stand up for myself. Nothing lived up to what I was sold. Even the lady at the front desk was a little rude to me, and I just felt like I had been tricked, and yet I handed over my credit card without a word. You know, the truth is, none of us like being deceived. In fact, we hate it. I think, as we rightly should, it just feels wrong, it feels fake, but let me state the obvious here. There is a far greater deception running through the world these days. It is a far greater deception from a far greater deceiver with a far greater consequence. So I want to show us from God's Word how you and I can avoid being deceived. We will continue in 1 John chapter 2. If you have your Bible this morning, it'll be 1 John chapter 2. I'll start in verse 18. If you have a digital Bible, we'll be reading out of the ESV. If you don't have any of that and you got a bulletin, it's all there. But before we read the passage, let's pray together. Father, we come before you with a heavy task, as we do every week, to open your word, the authority of your word. God, I ask for just grace as we do this, understanding that you might show us the realness of the enemy, that you might show us the deception that is happening all around us all the time. God, teach us to be men and women that follow Christ, that are faithful to your word. God, teach us how to avoid being deceived. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. I'll start in verse 18, and we'll go down to verse 27. Verse 18, it says, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming, and so now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. But you, well, you've been anointed by the Holy One. You all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar? Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? That is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. And what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us. It's eternal life. So I write to you these things about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as is, his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. How can I avoid being deceived? Before we answer that question, we need to look at two very important parts of the text this morning. Right there in verse 18, we're confronted with two items that need clarification. Verse 18, children, it is the last hour. And I mean, so what's this last hour that John is referencing? Well, we need to first confess that John wrote this a long time ago. And he meant the last hour then as much as it means now. What is this last hour or even last days? Well, simply it's the space in between the resurrection of Christ Jesus and the return of Christ Jesus, meaning we are living in the last hour and last days now, just as men and women have been for over 2,000 years. Danny Akin, he put it like this: due to the fact that Jesus has inaugurated the kingdom, John can say with assurance that it is the last hour. And it has been the last hour since the Son of God invaded the evil one's domain and dealt him a death blow in the cross and resurrection. We are all in the last hour. So like to claim a future time or day, it's not even faithful to the scriptures. It says it in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows. I mean, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. That doesn't mean that we can't see the obvious signs of the last days. Scripture gives us plenty of them. Let me give you those examples. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. This world is temporary. Justin talked about that last week. This world is fleeting. So in light of the last hour, to put our hope in this world, like it's just not even a wise investment. James chapter 5, verse 1 tells us that, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures in the last days. So friends, we're living in the last days. We are in the last hour. The return of Christ is near. That doesn't mean that we act with irrational fear. Like all throughout history, when Christians were faced with intense persecution, intense suffering, they had convinced themselves it was the very end of the last hour. And I guess if we just keep acting like that, eventually we will get it right one day. But it doesn't mean we become doomsday Christians or act with irrational fear. But it also doesn't mean that we ignore what is taking place right now. This is the last hour, and who is coming? Well, back to verse 18. As you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. Who's the Antichrist? I tried to give Justin this sermon last week, but he got the love passage, so here we are. I think it's helpful to give two biblical references to shape our understanding. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship. And so he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. He is the man of lawlessness. And then Revelation 13, this is starting in verse 1. So I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. The whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who can fight against it?" He is the beast of Revelation. So in the last hour, there will come a man who is the Antichrist. There will come a man, this man of lawlessness, and the beast. I believe all three are one and the same. So the Antichrist, anti in the Greek means against, which is clear. So he is against or opposed to Christ. But also anti, sometimes in the prefix, means in place of. So the coming Antichrist is not only against Christ, but is also setting himself up to be in place of Christ. That is clearly referenced in both passages I just read. So in summary, we're in the last hour. And that Antichrist is coming, but something else popped up in verse 18 that will be our focus for this passage. Because John is not writing this for us to just obsess over the Antichrist that is coming. He says in verse 18, "So now many antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour." It is the serious warning of deception that the great deceiver is already at work in the world right now. I mean, 1 John 4, chapter 3, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already." So right now, as I'm talking, the spirit of the Antichrist is busy working. Right now, as I'm talking, many antichrists have come. So we have some definition of the Antichrist, but what about many antichrists? Who are they? How can we avoid being deceived? That's our focus for today's text, because that's the focus of the text. So with all that being said, how can I avoid being deceived? I'll give you a few points for note takers. Number one, watch out for the person that has abandoned the faith. Verse 19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us." John is describing men and women that have committed a churchy word called apostasy. Now, I'm going to wildly oversimplify this definition, but someone that commits apostasy is someone that abandons the faith that they once proclaimed. All right, so it's an obvious issue for the readers of John's letter. They went out from us, meaning they went out as proclaiming faith in Christ. But they were not of us. They didn't really have faith in Christ, because if they had been of us, They would have continued with us. If their faith was real, they would have continued to hold the faith. So apostasy, men and women that have walked away from any sort of historical, Holy Spirit-filled, biblically rooted faith in Christ Jesus. In fact, there is a belief that there will be a great apostasy near the end of that last hour. So 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, which we read. But John is not writing just about some like future danger, but a present reality. All of us in this room know at least someone in our life that has committed apostasy. They once proclaimed faith, and now they've abandoned the faith that they once proclaimed. It's very plain in the text and in the experiences of our life. They're not of us. They're not of us because they're not of the people of God. And yet, it's this painful reality that many of us have been impacted by. There's friends that we have, friends that once loved Jesus, and now they're loving the world. People that went to this church. I got here in 2019. When there are people in this church that are no longer a part of this church or any church that love Jesus, and now they love the world. There's family members that once loved Jesus, and now they're loving the world. See, apostasy hits home because it's not just the abandonment of Christ, but the abandonment of a relationship that was built upon Christ. Paul knows what this feels like, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. He says, do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens had gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me in ministry. For one of the most tragic lines of the New Testament, Demas, who went out from us, he professed love for Christ, but now, well, he's in love with this present world. He's deserted me. He's gone back to Thessalonica. So we're not here to demonize people we deeply love. But we also can't deny that people that we deeply love have been demonized by the spirit of the Antichrist. Watch out, friends. It's not just some future event. Men and women are being deceived and walking away from the faith that they once professed. If it can happen to them, it can most certainly happen to you. And yet, there's a difference between an apostate and an antichrist. So to be an antichrist, verse 18 and 19, it's just step one. How can I avoid being deceived? Let me give you point two. Watch out for the person that denies that Jesus is the Christ. In verses 21 through 23, we have clarification of who is considered an antichrist, and as you might have guessed it, is the person who is anti-Christ. Okay, verse 21, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? That is the antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. And as you might have guessed it, it's this person that models their father, the devil. John 8, 44, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So to deny that Jesus is the Christ is to become like a liar, like the father of lies. After all, it was the serpent that lied and deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. It is the great lie. The big lie, that Jesus, well, he's not really the Christ. He's not really the Messiah. He's not really the Son of God. He's not really the hope of the world. He's not really fully man, fully God. He's not really the Lamb of God. He's not really the Prince of Peace. He's not really the great high priest. He's not really the Christ. I mean, that's the spirit of the Antichrist among many Antichrists that are already among us. All right. Look, I'm not advocating that we call people the Antichrist. That is neither helpful nor loving. But the text is clear. For a person to walk away from the faith and to deny that Jesus is the Christ, it literally makes them an Antichrist. They have denied the deity of Jesus. They have denied the Son, that the Son has the Father in verse 23. Friends, this is why they tried to kill Jesus. It's John chapter 10, starting in verse 37. I'm not doing the works of my Father, then if I'm not doing the works of the Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe that the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Well, so when they heard that, again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. So the Jewish religious leaders that denied that the Father has the Son, that Jesus and the Father are one, they tried to kill him. So let me boil that down. We're living in the last hour, and there are men and women that deny that Jesus is the Christ. But I want to clarify that there are many inside the church that deny that Jesus is the Christ. So it's not really just the bad guys that are the most dangerous. It's the guys twisting the truth that are the most dangerous. Where Jesus, well, he's just an emotional counselor. Jesus is just a motivational speaker. Jesus is just a social worker. Jesus is just a political action hero. That is the deceptive teaching that is echoing across the American church. Michael Horton, he put it like this: the early Christians were not fed to wild beasts or dipped in wax and set ablaze as lamps in Nero's garden because they thought Jesus was a helpful life coach or role model, but because they witnessed to him as the only Lord and Savior of the world. Jesus is the Christ, so to claim otherwise makes you an Antichrist. All right, how can I keep from being deceived? Let me give you point three. Watch out for the person that teaches another way. We see the thrust of John's motivation in verse 26. It says, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive. Like, pay close attention to that language. There's an active game plan to deceive brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are many false prophets that have gone out into the world, and they're trying to deceive you. They're trying to deceive your children and your grandchildren. And I'm not trying to stir up some sort of manipulating concern because people inside the church have done plenty of damage in the name of Christ. But again, we can't deny the existence of many antichrists and false prophets that are actively at work to deceive others. Right, well, where are all these deceivers? Well, I'd say, friends, in the last hour, you can find them online. Our social media feed or news feed is filled with false prophets that are teaching you another way. How do they do that? Well, they might say things like, Jesus isn't like you've been taught growing up. He's actually like this. The Bible doesn't mean what it says. It actually means this. And you can't be loving and disagree with that. You actually need to believe this. And I realize I'm pretty young. I was in student ministry for a long time, and I can promise you there are many antichrists that are filling our minds through the internet. And I'm not saying we delete our cell phone plans, cancel our social media accounts, but parents, when you give your kids unlimited access to the many antichrists of our age, don't be surprised when they likewise turn out to be an antichrist. And I've watched that happen over and over and over again. You might have brought your children to church every week, brought them to youth group every week, but they were discipled by the false prophets every single day from the device in their pocket. Adults, when you numb your brain mindlessly scrolling on your phone, don't be surprised when you numb your heart to the truth of God's word. Watch out for the person that teaches another way. They are everywhere. We have unlimited access to their teaching. It's literally what John says in verse 27. You have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything. And that's not everyone's green light to say, like, I knew it. I knew we shouldn't pay the preacher. We can teach ourselves. You can. You can teach. We can teach ourselves. But keep in mind the context of that verse. John is saying, you already know the gospel. Like, you already know that Jesus is the Christ. Like, you don't need someone to deceive you by teaching you something else. That's the context of verse 27. Like, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is enough. We don't need someone to teach us something else, but here's what's happening in this last hour. Many antichrists have come to teach you and I, you know, Jesus isn't enough. There's something better than Jesus. You know, in fact, there's something that we can have in place of Jesus. Well, what is that in the last hour? It's the lie that has reverberated from the garden that we can replace God with self. That we can be our own Christ. That we can be our own Messiah. I mean, that's the great deception, that we not only oppose Christ, but we can replace Christ with self. Friends, the church should be different, right? Christians should live differently, right? I know it's early, right? Okay, well, we should encourage benevolence. These are all simple things. Encourage benevolence and empathy. We should, there's times we should reject tyrannical authority, advocate practical common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits. These are all good things. And guess where they came from? You probably aren't going to guess, so I'll tell you. They came from the Satanic Temple website. The mission of the Satanic Temple is to encourage benevolence and empathy, reject tyrannical authority, advocate practical common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits. Because when I say Antichrist, many of us think of historically satanic symbols, maybe even little red demons with horns and pitchforks. But modern Satanism is really just secular humanism. Okay, it's this idea that humanity has the power and the answer to solve all of humanity's problems. That we can create our own morals and ethics and joy without any need for God. So Christians get all worked up over anything that sounds culturally satanic, and we've done a great job of demonizing music and board games and movies and TV shows. We've demonized people that looked and dressed differently than our preference. Christians have historically done a phenomenal job of being the most scared and reactionary demographic of our society, and yet we forget that the spirit of the Antichrist is far more crafty than we care to admit. So it's not the blatantly evil things that trick us, it's the good things that have been twisted for evil that get us. this is the last hour. And many have come to deny that Jesus is the Christ. And many have come to teach us another way, specifically how you can become the savior of your own little universe. All right, well, what do we do? What should we do? Should we leave here terrified? Should we build a bunker at our house? Should we start an East River Park militia? Some of y'all might like that. Should we search for the Antichrist among political candidates? Y'all might like that too. Should we live in fear? See, the obvious answer is no to all of that. What's the answer to avoid being deceived? And the reality is I've danced around it in verses 18 through 27. The answer to avoid deception is this: abide. It's abide. That we have been anointed by the Holy One with all knowledge. That we know the truth of God's word. That we have the gospel of Christ Jesus abiding in us, that we also abide in the Son and in the Father, that we have been given this promise of eternal life. As I shared 2 weeks ago from Sinclair Ferguson, when we abide in Christ, we allow His word to fill our minds, direct our wills, and transform our affections. So abide. That's how we avoid being deceived. Abide. So as many walk away from the faith that they once proclaimed, abide in Christ. As so many deny that Jesus is the Christ, abide in Christ. As so many try to teach another way, abide in Christ. No doubt about it, it is the last hour. The Antichrist is coming. Many Antichrists have come in this last hour. Abide in Christ Jesus. That's your main point. And then we'll pray. In this last hour, abide in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together.